big nuclear time bombs. Holy overeating. Holy roller coasters.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time for the Lion Sidekick Podcast.
Hey, 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 heroes. Welcome back for another episode of the YM Sidekick Podcast. I'm Tom Pounder, your host, and this is where ministries come to get some cool tips and tricks and ideas on how to do ministry more effectively in a very digital and online world. And today I'm excited to have my friend Chris Norris back in, not the Chuck Norris, although I think I made that joke the last time he was on the podcast as well. But Chris Norris is up in Erie, Pennsylvania. He's involved in the online and social media world. He works with, helps out with the online campus in at his church up in Erie, Pennsylvania. And he also does a lot of social media and marketing stuff on his own. And he's a great resource. And so Chris and I get together and we talk about how to build community using a sermon or a topic. And again, community is so important, whether you're in a physical church location or an online campus. Community is so important, and there's so many great ways that you can do that online. And so Chris and I kind of take the idea of you got a sermon, you got a topic, how do you build community around that? So I'm really excited about the conversation Chris and I have. So without any further ado, let's get into the conversation right now with Chris Norris. All right, with me right now is Chris Norris. Chris, how are you?
I'm good, Tom. How are you?
I'm doing good. So my big question for you really is to start things off is it snowing up in Erie right now?
I knew you were going to lead with that question. Believe it or not, I think last time we talked, it was about a year ago, and it was like 4 degrees out. But today, we, I believe, touched 62 degrees Fahrenheit here in Erie, Pennsylvania. So that's a record high for this time of year. So no, it is not currently snowing. However, it has snowed quite a bit, and I'm sure that we'll be seeing some flurries through the month of April. But I'm going to live in the moment and enjoy this beautiful spring night here.
Yes, no, it's good. It's at the same temperature around here as well. So but I thought it would be much cooler. So that's really good that you got some warm weather. You just had that polar vortex come through. So, you know, how do you go from the one extreme to the other?
Yeah, it was brutal. And I think that's why so many people are sick. I mean, everybody's sick because the weather keeps fluctuating. You know, one day I'm out there shoveling snow. The next day I'm out there, you know, in a windbreaker. It messes with your system. So, but we're doing good. Yeah, I mean, a week ago, everybody was cold. But
yeah.
It's crazy how 1 week can make such a huge difference.
Yeah.
But just go with it, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. You can definitely go with it. And the good hope is that warm weather is on the way eventually. Pretty soon we will be hitting that warm weather. So
yeah, spring with Punxsutawney Phil did not see a shadow, right? So that's a good sign.
That is definitely a good sign. So let's hope for Punxsutawney Phil to be true this year. So hey, well, Chris, I'm excited you're back on the podcast with me. I'm excited about our topic. But before we get into it, just briefly tell everyone what you do and what your background is.
Yeah, so my name's Chris Norris, and I am involved in, a multitude of areas, not only in ministry, but just professionally. I have a degree in broadcast communications. Of course, I was kind of dreamt of being on ESPN one day, and God took me down a different path, and I got to play baseball all the way through college. I still play today, so baseball is kind of a hobby or a passion of mine. But God took me into professional baseball to work initially as in the marketing department of a minor league baseball team. I also worked with a major league baseball for a period of time, working in their production team. And then I went into higher education for a while, which is really where I tapped into social media, particularly. Right when I started at this Institute of Higher Education, social media was like taken off. There was like Instagram was coming around, Twitter was getting big. I evolved with Snapchat and all of those platforms and really established myself in that space as someone that was strategizing for the university and coming up with a plan for each channel, how to connect with college students, how to use channels to tell stories. I loved it. It was a lot of fun. I also have a background in video production. So I got to do some video work, and some of that video work crossed over into ministry. I got involved with my church, shooting some video content. And next thing you know, I am also running social media for the church. You know how the church likes to get you involved whenever they can. So I did that for a while as well, mostly on a part-time basis, volunteer basis. And then my pastor said, hey, this digital media, social media stuff seems to be a thing. So why don't you start an online campus? So this was about a year and a half ago that our senior pastor said, let's do this online thing. I don't really understand it, but you do. And I'm going to empower you and give you the resources you need to start an online service. So I am still doing that. Our online campus launched just over a year ago, and I couldn't be happier with how things are going. We're learning as we go. Like most folks that probably listen to this podcast can relate. It's a learning experience just about every week, really. And I think we're far from where we could be. I think we're going to continue to grow and continue to try new avenues to reach people. So I do that part-time, actually. I'm a part-time online campus pastor. And full-time, I work in corporate America doing digital media and social media as well. So kind of a weird route to where I'm at right now, but I'm still young, and God only knows where he's going to take me next.
Yeah. No, it's cool how it all just kind of intermixed with you, of how God's used different pieces that kind of shape where you are today. And again, it's kind of cool, like, especially in this field where everything is constantly changing, you're constantly getting new opportunities. So it's kind of cool like that.
Yeah, you're right, Tom. I think in today's world, if you're going to get into marketing or comm or digital comm, you can't really settle into one job. I mean, I hate to use an old phrase, but it's like master of none and, you know, talented at many. You know, you can't really just hone in on one role and think you're going to live there forever. You're always evolving and learning new stuff and realizing the next wave of technology is going to open up new opportunities for you.
Yeah. No, I agree with you completely. And it's really kind of cool. And so hopefully we will talk again before another year goes by and then something different has changed. So hopefully we'll have a little quicker conversation. But let's get into the topic that we want to talk about today a little bit. I'm really excited about this one because, as you know, with what you do and what I do, we're always kind of creating content. And one of the great pieces of content that we get to fool around with is sermons or even a message sequence of some sorts. And so we want to talk about how to have a building community around a conversation or a sermon. So let's dig into that a little bit. What do you like to do and how do you like to draw community and like, what's your passion around that?
Well, one of the things that I think that is most effective, especially with basing content around your sermon. I mean, essentially, as a content creator yourself, Tom, you know that a sermon is essentially filled with content.
Yes.
You know, you can dissect a sermon in so many ways. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean that is there are so many different elements to a sermon that can be a blog post, a podcast topic, a tweet, a YouTube clip. A full, you know, most people just upload their full sermons somewhere as well to live. But in a society that, you know, our attention span is shorter than that of like a goldfish, you know, we don't, a lot of people just want bite size information and they want to be able to be influenced. And so I think as people living in that space, it's helpful to look at a sermon and figure out how you can break it up and offer people either a full 360 degree experience on a sermon topic or give them bite-sized digestible pieces of content that you break up into maybe individual conversations and topics that still obviously are backed through scripture and can really affect people in a positive way. So I always start with the sermon and figuring out how many different directions we can go with the sermon topic and, you know, creating subtopics and creating different social media posts. And essentially, I think you could almost drive all of your social media content from your sermon.
Yeah. No, I think you're right on in that. And I think one of the things that I know I get myself into a bind on is I think, gosh, the sermon is a powerful piece of content. And sometimes I'll tweet out something, but usually what I get stuck on is I'll just post the sermon online or I'll just share it. And I don't maximize it for the possibilities that it is. So talk about the community aspect, but then talk about what are the different pieces? You kind of hit on it a little bit earlier, but what are the different pieces that you could do to start conversations that build community?
One of the things I used to do, just really a practical step, is I would, if I was at church worshiping, I would start my stopwatch on my phone when the sermon started to get a time code. And then I would sit there and take notes, obviously follow along with the sermon. But anytime I heard something that spoke to me, I would look down at that stopwatch and say, okay, that was about 8 minutes and 30 seconds in. And I would put a mark there. And then later on in the message, you know, pastor's second strong point, I would say, okay, now we're 12 minutes. Anyway, I would mark down the points of the sermon that I thought were powerful moments to me. And I just have to trust my own instinct. And then I would go back and I would take the full sermon, the video file, and I would break it down into 30-second to 1 minute clips and distribute those across social media and ask people questions related to that. I feel like if the pastor could, he would stop his sermon in that moment and say, hey, let's chew on this a little bit. Tell me what you think about, you know, this passage from the New Testament, or tell me what you think about this controversial topic that, you know, biblically we can add some clarity to. And we post those bite-sized clips and ask an open-ended question. Did you agree? Did you disagree? Did you like where, you know, the pastor went with this topic and this point? What would you have added to it? What would you have changed? Are there any other examples of scripture that you've read that relate to this topic? And it's been pretty neat to see some of the people mostly positively reinforce a sermon topic or a point that the pastor was trying to make. And, you know, seeing the conversations that people wish they probably could have had in that moment during the message is kind of cool to have, kind of cool to see on social media. So that's really a big step for what we've done from a social media perspective, is just kind of breaking down the sermon through video quite practically, and then asking questions about that. You know, I think it's Dave Adamson that said it the best on Instagram, Aussie Dave. He said social media is meant to be a telephone and not a megaphone. So constantly asking for back and forth conversation on your social media channels is way better than just posting the sermon and being like, make sure you watch this. It was a great sermon, and watch it the whole thing because it was awesome, and you should watch it because you'll learn a lot. No, that's kind of like, that's using a megaphone. You know, you want to have a telephone. You want people to be having conversations around the sermon.
Yeah, so you're really beginning those conversations around asking those open-ended questions. Now, are you doing that in like a Facebook page? Are you doing it in a Facebook group, Instagram, Twitter? What platforms are you using that in?
We typically post it. What we've done, what we've experimented with, and I'm not certain that it's really working well or failing. We're kind of in a beta testing phase with it, but we're a multi-site church. So we have our main campus, and then we have satellite campuses as well. So we have a main Facebook page that represents our whole entire church community. We post those videos there. Okay. And then our site pastors are the ones responsible for the individual groups. Those groups are not, I don't think they're private. I think they're invite only. Okay. So maybe they are. Yeah, so they're closed groups, but anybody that is part of that particular site has been invited into the group. So what I do with the online site, and I'm pretty sure the other site pastors do this in their individual site Facebook groups, is they kind of look at the main page and the content that's being distributed there. And then they either ask the same question or try to create the same conversation as our main Facebook page. Or sometimes they even put their own twist on it and say, they take the same video, but they ask a different question. They go a different route. And it's kind of neat to see, again, different conversations happening around it. So to answer your question, we post it to our main Facebook page for our entire church organization. And then the site pastors each have individual Facebook groups for their sites. And they can kind of distribute that content if they want, or they can go out and find different content. They can go and, you know, grab scripture and make verse images from the message. Instagram, we haven't done a whole lot of video with, just because I don't know that anybody's seen, I'm sure people could certainly make a case against this, but I haven't seen a whole lot of success with video on Instagram. I think people just want to thumb through pictures and double tap pretty quickly and then move on. So we don't spend much time doing video on Instagram. We're usually posting verse images on there or worship imagery We throw memes up there sometimes just to see if anybody bites on those. But yeah, so mostly the video component is going to Facebook.
Yeah, I'm sure somebody's going to jump down my throat on this one too, but I would agree with you. I think when IGTV first came out, everybody was all in, like, we got to go all in. And then it fizzles. So I don't think it's really captured people. So I would agree with you on that. So let me ask you this. You're talking about putting video up there to kind of spur conversations and get people. Do you ever do still images with a quote on there or a Bible passage from that sermon?
Yes, of course. We do a little mix of both. I've seen where we just post the clip or somebody listens to the clip and pulls a powerful, main point from what the message was, being delivered. And again, though, with that quote, they ask, what stood out or what part of this message really spoke to your heart? How are you applying this to your daily grind? Sort of like those open-ended questions. But yeah, we definitely would sometimes just grab a screenshot from the video, not the greatest quality, but, and then somebody will use, an app to create kind of a image quote. The easy route, of course, I'm sure a lot of people in the church world do this, is the Bible app makes it real easy to create some pretty captivating verse images as well. We sometimes also take advantage of those as well. But as you know, with the Facebook algorithm, I mean, that's been a year now that they announced that they're going to favor meaningful interactions, more or less coming from friends of friends and family members. So the church is kind of falls into that, the same way as a business page is struggling to get their stuff in people's feeds. So I think anytime you have a chance to try to get shares from your followers so that their friends of their friends of their friends share it, Facebook will see that and say, okay, it looks like they're having some meaningful interaction on this post from the church. We're going to show this to more people. So trying to find the balance between doing that and creating conversation and making your content shareable is kind of an ever evolving challenge.
Let me ask you this question. One of the campus pastors in my church has started to do live video after his sermon, not directly after, but like on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, and they called the leftovers, where stuff that maybe he couldn't share on the thing because of time limits or whatnot. And so he's gone live, and he's actually got really good engagement on those live videos. He keeps it between 5 and 10 minutes, but he's gotten that good engagement there. Have you guys experimented with anything like that before?
Not immediately following the sermon, although I love that idea. That's a very cool idea, especially if there's crossover from people that might be watching your online services, mm-hmm. hungry for more. Oh, let's jump over to Facebook, because then we kind of get a behind the scenes breakdown. That's a really cool idea. We've done Facebook Live for, obviously we do it for our actual services. We used to do a prayer, like a half an hour long every week at the same time. Ooh. Our site pastors would alternate and go on Facebook Live during lunch and just kind of in real time take prayer requests and pray for people in the Facebook Live setting. And that was going good for a while, but to be honest, we've seen a steady decline in Facebook interaction on when we go live as well. So it's, again, kind of going back and asking, is this worth our time? Is it worth our resources if we're not getting the love from the algorithm, if you will?
Yeah.
But we have experimented with it, to answer your question, and we saw some success early on. But I think lately we've seen a little bit of a decline with viewership on the Facebook Live option.
That's good. And what I love about what you're doing too is that you're constantly experimenting and trying different things. And so I think that's really cool. Okay, so how else are you trying to build community or having engaging conversations around a particular topic or sermon?
Well, I think even within the Facebook groups, the private, mm-hmm. I don't want to say private, but the groups that are specific to each campus. What I've encouraged our other site pastors to do is either record a video, if they're comfortable, go Facebook Live, and as the campus pastor, give your interpretation and kind of pastoral spin on a sermon. So typically what happens most weeks is our senior pastor gives the message. He's our senior pastor from our main campus. And then all of our campuses, our satellite locations, get a feed from his teaching. And then occasionally our site pastors will preach live at their respective sites, but they don't preach a whole lot. And I know they want the opportunity, obviously, to, you know, preach and teach. So what I like to see them do is watch the sermon, you know, take their own interpretation of it, and then kind of go on Facebook and reteach, or I don't want to regurgitate in a way, what was offered from our senior pastor, and kind of give their own perspective, because that audience within the Facebook group, you're their pastor, and they need to hear your interpretation, your two cents on the sermon as well, because you're really their teacher. They have more access to you in that group and even at the physical site every Sunday than they do our senior pastor if they're not a part of the main church location where our senior pastor preaches from. So I like to see our senior pastors engaging with their congregation on kind of a macro level and saying, hey, what'd you guys think? Here's what I thought. Here's what Pastor Brian was trying to say. Here's what I think he meant to say. Just kind of giving their interpretation and letting people kind of converse with their site pastors in kind of a smaller setting is another way that we've tried to create more localized conversations around a sermon topic. Because maybe if you're a part of the Facebook group that is specific to a smaller site, you don't feel comfortable chiming in on a conversation on the main Facebook page because you don't attend there regularly. A lot of the people you see conversing, you don't really know, and you're just not, you don't want to start any kind of conversation if you're shy. But hey, if it's in your Facebook group of your site, you recognize all the people in there, and oh, there's, that's my pastor that I see every Sunday. Yeah. I would definitely get involved with this conversation because, you know, I feel more comfortable in this Facebook group because these are kind of the people that I'm doing life with at church every week.
Yeah. See, I like that. So you're utilizing your campus pastors or your site pastors. I call them campus pastors. You call them site pastors. You're utilizing them. You're giving them an opportunity to share and reach out to their communities. But then you're using them in the context of the Facebook groups, which Facebook groups are the algorithms that Facebook uses promotes those better. And so more people have an opportunity to see those conversations that are actually happening. So I love how you do that. Do you promote those times that your site pastors are going on the Facebook page, the main Facebook page, or is it just done internally on the groups?
I think it's just based on their availability and their, you know, I don't control it. I mean, I suppose it probably would be maybe a neat idea to be more structured in when they're going to go Facebook Live and when they're going to talk about, you know, a Sunday recap or something like that. I love the leftovers. That's a good one too. I like that.
Yeah.
But no, it's not really structured, honestly. Like for me personally, I would just kind of jump on, you know, this time of night when I thought maybe people were unwinding. And then honestly, when I could be in the right place too, after, you know, I'm a little bit in a different situation where I work 9 to 5 in a corporate setting. So I need to make sure I'm in a good place and that I'm away from, you know, my 9 to 5 where I can digest the sermon and say, okay, I want to do this when I can give my best and really be offering, you know, solid advice. For them, you know, they are, the other site pastors, a majority of them are employed by the church full time, and they can kind of just do it whenever they want. We used to do the Facebook Live prayer thing like every Wednesday from like 12 to 1 or something like that. They haven't been doing that as much lately because they've been more involved with some strategic planning and meetings and stuff like that. And but no, not to answer your question, there's been no real strategy in when they go on or when they kind of connect with their audience. And like I said, we're still kind of figuring out the Facebook groups. I agree with you. I think the Facebook groups, to be quite honest, the Facebook groups are one of the only things I really enjoy about Facebook anymore. I mean, I love the groups. There's a ton of valuable resources. Your Digital Bootcamp Facebook group is a solid example of people that can collaborate and bounce ideas off each other. And there's so many resources out through the Facebook groups. I want the church and these, you know, campuses or these satellite sites to kind of be a resource as well for people that are trying to grow in their faith.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. I think the Facebook groups are really stuff that is really engaging stuff. Like I will say my personal experience is the group Bible studies that we have, that are topic specific or whatnot, they tend to be the most engaging for us in what we've experimented with. And I love that, again, we're just experimenting because everything is constantly changing. And so experimenting is a good thing. You got to try new things. As Facebook changes things, we've got to change things. And so I think these are cool ideas, all in the idea of just creating conversations and creating community, because the more conversations that are happening, community is going to happen.
Absolutely. And that's what Facebook is asking you to do, essentially. When they made the switch last year and they basically told Facebook business pages and any really page, as opposed to an account or a profile, they basically said, yeah, it's going to be a lot harder for you to get on the top of people's feeds, because we're more about making those meaningful interactions and meaningful conversations amongst people, not brands. But if the people are conversing with the brands, with the church, then it's going to help us get our message out there to more people. The biggest win is when someone from your church shares something that you offer, because obviously that immediately flags Facebook's algorithm that, oh, this must be good content because this person shared it. And then it's also, that would be considered about as meaningful of an interaction as you could get if someone's taking your content and sharing it with their friends or family. So that's really what you strive for.
Yeah. Well, Chris, dude, this is great stuff. And I love all the stuff that you're kind of fooling around with and doing. And again, it's got to be a juggling act with your family, with your job, and with the stuff. I mean, it's constantly a juggling act. So I love that you guys are experimenting with stuff. And I love your background. Again, you've got a ton of background in this stuff. So if someone's got a question for you, because I know you're a great resource yourself, and I know you're doing some side stuff as well, tell people how they can connect with you and how they can hit you up with some questions.
Well, my favorite place to hang out these days is Instagram. I've been trying to dump a ton of time and energy into there because I think, again, just trying stuff, kind of, you know, seeing what works, seeing what doesn't. So on Instagram, you can find me. My name's Christopher J. Norris over on Instagram. Full name, you know, real official and formal. But yeah, I've been trying all kinds of stuff. I've been posting resources there. I've been experimenting with like long format posts, almost treating Instagram as like a blog space, where I've been really like writing long form captions that hopefully helpful things for folks trying to improve their social media game. So if you want to find me on Instagram, I've been doing a lot of stuff there and hopefully providing some valuable content. Also, I just reset up a blog. Unfortunately, my last blog basically exploded and I lost everything. It's a long method.
Oh, no.
I relaunched my blog. It's ChristopherJNorris.com, and I'm trying to, again, provide some value there with some topics in the blog posts that I'm putting there. And also I'm doing some social media consulting and trying to help people figure out what to post, where to post. And I have so many people, whether they're in ministry or they're in small business or they're just, you know, leadership coaches or people that are trying to establish a brand, they're just like, Chris, I set this up. I set a Twitter account. I have a Snapchat. I have Instagram. I have Facebook. I have Pinterest. And I'm like, you need someone to sit down with you and figure out what you are trying to say and help you figure out where's the best place to say it. Because one person can't do it all. And anyone involved with ministry understands that too. So I've been coaching some people and trying to figure out, get them focused on a plan. And that's like really been my bread and butter lately. I love working with people one-on-one and just helping them, whether it's in church ministry or your small business. That's kind of where I think God's been leading me lately with my passion. So find me there, ChristopherJNorris.com, or you can even try helpmehashtag.com. Vanity URL, kind of a redirect. So if that's easier to remember, helpmehashtag.com, and I'd love to connect there too.
Yeah, see, well, I'm disappointed in you in this sense, is that you didn't highlight Twitter, man. I'm telling you, Twitter is the place to be. I love Twitter. And so
I love Twitter. It's still my favorite. And I saw what you posted earlier this week about how they're still a legit social network. I have met a ton of people on Twitter, including you, Tom. I mean, I've met great relationships over there. And I still believe in it. It's just hard I seem to be getting more, I think with the power of Instagram's hashtag game right now, like, you know, I've been just connecting with a lot of people there as well. My reach has been great over on Instagram, but I still love Twitter. I'd say, to be honest, if I'm sitting on the couch just mindlessly thumbing through a social network, it probably is going to be Twitter. So much love for Twitter, but I'm trying to
It's good. Good. You're good in my books now again, Chris. You know, you're good in my books. So
just wait till baseball season starts, and I'll be tweeting about the Cleveland Indians like every day. So
yeah, do you think they have a shot to get back and be competitive here?
I like to think that on paper, not so much. But I was thinking back to 2016 when they went to the World Series, and before the season started, looking at the team the same way I am right now, like, boy, they got a lot of really random guys, and this is kind of a hodgepodge lineup. So maybe there's something there. Whereas the last two seasons, when they've really tanked in the playoffs, on paper going into the season, I'm like, this team is built for the World Series. This is the year. So maybe if we go back to 2016, historically, I feel a little bit better. But yeah, I'm always confident. I'm a Cleveland sports fan. You got to have some optimism.
Hey, listen, the Browns are in the uptick. So, man, I'm telling you, the Browns are going to be good. So, well, Chris, I will have all your links on my show notes so people can click on that. I would strongly encourage you to check out his website and follow him on Instagram and Twitter and get a lot of great insights. So, Chris, as always, thanks so much for joining me.
Hey, it's always my pleasure, Tom. Thanks for what you're doing out there.
Thanks, man.
All right, there you have it, my conversation with Chris. And, you know, the cool thing about online and online community is, one, there's so many different ways that you can do online community. And two, it's constantly changing. Technology in the online community is constantly changing, so there's different ways that you can do community online. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on this and what you're doing to develop community and what tools you're using and how you're formatting it. Again, it's constantly changing. So what are you doing? Let's carry on the conversation on Twitter. @TAPounder is my Twitter handle. I'd love to talk with you more about that. All right, heroes. Well, that wraps it up for another episode of the YM Sidekick podcast. As always, thanks so much for joining me. If you enjoyed the podcast, definitely go over to iTunes and subscribe to it. Or you can go to ymsidekick.com. There I've got the podcast there along with my blog, the vlog, my Twitter ebook, and also information about Digital Bootcamp, the free Facebook group designed for everyday ministers who want to learn digital tools and tech tips to help them grow and expand their ministry reach online. So it's a great Facebook group. We've got a great group in there and great discussions that happen. So learn information about that at ymsidekick.com. All right, heroes. Well, I hope you have a great rest of the day, a great rest of the week, and until next time, have a great one.